Stocks in retreat across the world after Wall Street's drop yesterday. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A two-pronged sell-off in the U.S. caused by a drop in tech shares and inflation concerns ricocheted through global markets overnight. China's benchmark share index saw its worst sell-off since 2016, plunging more than 5%. European markets are following suit, all down more than 1.5%. Michael Hewson, CMC Markets Chief Analyst, explains.
I think there's concerns about rising trade tensions as the US reorientates its trade policy, for want of a better word. Concerns about the effects that tariffs are likely to have on company profit margins. And obviously you've got concerns about emerging markets and the IMF downgrade earlier this week of global growth, where they cited particular concerns about emerging markets, weak currencies, a stronger dollar, and obviously higher rates of interest in terms of the Fed's hiking policy.
Now, the sell-off seems to be pretty orderly. Stock markets are largely higher for the year, at least in the US. So is this an opportunity for investors to buy while prices are low?
I don't think at the moment that we're quite ready to go back in again. And certainly, I think if you look at the way US markets have behaved over the course of the past 10 years, we actually haven't had a 20% correction or even a 15% correction, and I think we are well overdue one. The outlook for global growth is slightly lower. I think with respect to earnings potential, I think this earnings season is going to be very important in terms of how companies guide their future profit potential going forward, and I think that could dictate where we go to for US markets over the course of the next few days.
Where should investors look for a bit of safety?
Rather counterintuitively, given the concerns that investors have about rising interest rates, they've actually gone into US Treasuries. Yields are actually a little bit lower on the day. You've seen the two-year yield come down from its recent highs of 2.9%, and even the 10-year's come back down from 3.25%. I think that's one area that you are seeing a little bit of haven buying.
Michael Hewson, let's do the numbers. As global shares drop, U.S. stocks are poised to open lower. Watch out for consumer inflation numbers due out later today after producer price figures helped spark yesterday's sell-off. And after President Trump said the Fed had gone, quote, crazy raising interest rates, IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde today defended the central bank's moves, calling them legitimate and necessary. Meanwhile, Italy's benchmark index entered a bear market. It's down at least 20% from a recent high. That as the government continues to go head-to-head with the EU over its budget plans. Now, in London today, a conference on the illegal trade in wildlife opens. It's worth $22 billion a year, making it the fourth biggest transnational organized crime. Rohit Singh, Zero Poaching lead for the World Wildlife Fund, has just released the largest ever survey of rangers, the people who protect the animals.
When we go as a tourist, you enjoy seeing wildlife, whether it's elephants, rhinos, or lions. But what is missing is the people who are saving these animals. They work under extremely difficult conditions, dangerous job with no insurance support. 72% rangers said they don't have simple communication devices. Half of them don't even have boots, and they end up buying boots with their own money, with the salary of $9 per day, US dollars per day. So these are the most important stakeholder in conservation, but I feel they are the most ignored community. Rangers are government employees. They should be treated like any other enforcement agency. They should get the benefits which other enforcement agencies are getting, like paid sick leave and insurance benefits. And number two is the international community has to recognize rangers and has to invest more resources in improving ranger working conditions. Number three, we need to create awareness. How do we make sure that the youth join ranger program? How do we give the message to the world that it's cool to be a ranger?
Rohit Singh. Singapore Airlines' non-stop flight to New York is ready to take off today. At a whopping 19 hours, it's the longest so far. And analysts say the non-stop sector is growing dramatically. Brendan Sobey, chief analyst for the Center of Aviation, has more.
It's really aimed at more the upper end of the market because these flights will only have premium economy and business class. However, their fares in premium economy have been very aggressive to the point that they're obviously trying to stimulate economy passengers to maybe trade up.
How much staff and fuel does it take to run that kind of a 15, 18, 19-hour flight?
Basically, you need a double complement of crew, and you need an airplane that's specially configured for ultra-long-haul flights. This airplane is a lot more efficient than the last generation, 25-30% more fuel efficient, but it's still a lot of fuel to the point that the majority of the cost is fuel. But as fuel prices increase, it becomes even a higher portion of the total cost. So the sustainability of these flights is a potential concern.
There's also been global economic warnings. If there's a downturn, won't these premium nonstop flights be the first to go? If businesses have to cut back, this is what they'll cut.
This is what's happened before. During the global financial crisis, Singapore Airlines had these flights and they had to cut them back frequency, and then eventually they went alt entirely. However, this is a long-term investment, and they're not just going to give up as soon as fuel prices go up or the economy gets a little soft.
Now, we've been asking our listeners what their top tip is for surviving a really mega long-haul flight. Have you got one?
Drink a lot of water and make sure to get up a lot.
Brendan Sobey there. Here are more of your tips. Francis Mason tweeted us, fly midweek and choose seats in the rear. There's usually more space. Tony Smith says, movies, movies, movies. Then sleep, wake up and watch more movies. And Andrea Sella makes a rather sobering point. He says, a one-way premium class trip generates 3.2 tons of carbon emissions. Given that by 2050, air travel will consume 50% of the UK's carbon budget, that's a big problem. You can tweet us at BBC World Biz. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.